You're listening to the Penrith Perception Podcast, where we drive discussions about the cogs and gears that run a selective high school in New South Wales. We're your hosts, Shamila
and Ree, and in today's episode, we speak with our Deputy Principal, Miss Lamb, and Miss Chapman later on to celebrate Public Education Week. Together, we explore what public education means to them, why they are passionate about teaching, and the importance of schools in shaping future students. Listen as we learn the values that make public education so powerful.
Hi, Miss.
Hello, how are you?
How are you feeling today?
Nervous.
So as we know, you were kind of like the forerunner of Public Education Week in Penrith today. So you were kind of the one that was organizing everything, setting up the schools and I guess delegating peer support leaders. So is this your first time?
No, we did it last year. We welcomed opportunity class students from, I think it was Glenbrook Public last year, to experience some taster lessons, having a day in the life of a Year 7 student at Penrith. So it's the second time we've done it, but this time we went bigger and we extended that invitation to Blaxland East, Colleton Public, and I think Kingswood as well.
Yeah, we got to do some on-ground interviews with the kids yesterday as well. So I talked to kids from Blaxland East and Colleton, and it was really fun talking to them. They had so much insight about the school. I was like, wow, you guys are so like ready.
Yep, they're very eager.
Yeah. So Miss, do you want to give us a quick rundown of exactly what happened yesterday, which was Thursday, on Public Education Day?
Sure. So we basically had groups of 15. So four groups of 15 students. They were given a timetable where they experienced four lessons in the day. So it was either a cycle between maths, science, visual arts and music, or PE, electronics, history and one other. There were eight subjects.
Yeah, yeah. But there were quite a few. They were on like rotation.
They were on rotation. And basically the kids were really keen because they actually said, Miss, can we come back next year and do the subjects that we didn't get to do this time? And I said, oh yeah, we'll see. it's a lot of organization.
Yeah, definitely.
And you know, you said that I was at the forefront of running it. In truth, I actually owe it to the teachers who put their hands up when I reached out to them and said, you know, this is what I want to run. Would you be willing to do it? And the fact that these teachers, without a bat of their eyelids, like they said, yep, I'm happy to do it. But it meant that classes had to be covered. It meant that they would have to plan their own classes as well, in addition to running, you know, the lessons that they ran for the OC students. So I am indebted to them. Like the success of the day actually is based on the teachers who put the effort in.
Yeah, definitely. It was such a team effort. So can I just ask, what do you think that like public education offers that makes it so special?
Look, I grew up and attended a Catholic school, and I know how much it costs for my parents. In actual fact, it was my sister. My sister put me through Catholic education, and it costs $4,000 per term to put me through school.
Oh, wow.
That's not something that we could afford. Like, my parents came in 1979. They're poor. You know, they're not able to actually do that. So it was basically an effort to have me put through school. So as a I guess a uni student who went through the teaching program, I decided that I'd do public. And yeah. So for me, yeah, my understanding of public education is all about equity, making it accessible for everyone no matter their situation. And like, if you don't know it, but public education is free. Like, yeah, tuition, yeah, is free, and the only thing that you have to pay for are maybe the uniforms or extracurricular stuff that you might want to do. But ultimately, it is free, and I think that's the best thing about public education.
Miss, yeah, that's so well said. No, that was beautiful. So can I just ask, was that sort of what inspired you to become a teacher and this career path?
What inspired me to become a teacher was having great teachers. I actually had really excellent high school teachers and primary school teachers. But definitely I've always liked children. Like that's something that was innately me. And something I guess to learn about is I was on the path of wanting to become a pediatrician. But in that journey of getting there, the realization is that perhaps medicine is not for me. And that was okay, much to the disappointment of my father. But I know that I could still make a difference by teaching. Like, I've been teaching, to be honest, since year 7. So being in the Asian community, like families.
Like tutoring.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Tutoring, yeah. Right, you just tutor little kids because they say, oh, can you help my son or daughter?
Aww.
And they're in kindy. And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, talk about tiger parents.
Start young. Yeah.
So, yeah, I really enjoyed that. So I've been doing that for forever. And then I studied medical science and then made the transition into teaching. I did a master's of teaching and I'd have no regrets. Yeah, I've actually loved every part of it.
So now with, it's been obviously, I think, a while since you decided to become a teacher, right? Mm-hmm. So I think there's definitely been a growth in how like special it is to you. Do you think like your perception has changed at all?
No, like public education is great. It's just there is still inequity though within right. public education yeah. systems. When you think about the opportunities that our school provides compared to other schools, and you will have friends that you speak to, and when you share about your experiences or opportunities offered here, they'd be like, oh, like, you know, I wish our school did that, or, you know, wish we were able to do this and that. So there's still that inequity within public school systems. Every teacher, no matter what, is working hard, but they have different stresses, you yeah. know, like in mm-hmm. comprehensive schools, they've got to deal with the misbehavior,
yeah,
which is very, very hard on their mental and physical well-being. Whereas selective teachers, we are looking at the academics, and that's a pressure for us because yeah, we know that your parents yeah. also put a lot of pressure on us to make sure that you achieve. But ultimately, in my viewpoint, your successes are yours alone, and your teachers are there. You know, we're 20%. Like, we give you the foundations, but ultimately what you get is you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's such a privilege to be able to go to, like, such a great school and, like, Penrith. But I think, like, every kid in the world deserves that opportunity. And it's so, it's like around Australia, like there's so much inequity that kids don't get to experience the range of experiences that we get to have at Penrith, even like other selective schools as well.
Honestly, that's a good point, because I think that obviously it's important to talk about how much selective schools mean to us. I think everyone within the selective school community is very grateful towards it to be able to prioritize academics. I think we sometimes forget coming to the school how special that is, really, how grateful we should be. Because, I mean, we hear stories, a lot of teachers do tell us, you know, coming to the school is so different compared to where they'd last been. It's so much nicer. The classrooms aren't, like, people aren't yelling, feel respected. And yeah, I think in a way we are kind of sheltered in the sense that we don't really realize that. So I think, yeah, definitely, like, hearing about it is very different to being involved in it. Well, we've talked a lot about obviously the negative aspects of it as well, like the inequity. But in that light, do you have any positive stories that you can tell us or share with us that, you know, in your teaching career?
Yeah, I guess it's more personal because, and I think every teacher will agree with me, the positives with public education is when you see your students come back or you bump into them out in public yeah. and yes. they tell you, I'm now doing X, Y, and Z. Either sometimes they actually say it's thanks to you. And, you know, my passion has now shifted into this. Or, you know, it doesn't matter, but it's like you've helped me get to that point to then be able to achieve my dreams as well. So it's just seeing their successes, you know, and that, you know, they've built a life beyond school. We always say that, you know, school's not the be all end all. And that's the truth. It's you know, what you learn at school that you then utilize as you grow older into your adult life.
No, definitely. I think that I still feel that way with primary school sometimes. Like, you saying that message really reminded me. I live very close to my primary school. It's just a local primary school, but I've barely gone. I mean, I've barely visited my old teacher. So I remember my sister goes to the same school, and she came back from camp. And I remember I went to go pick her up from school, coming back from camp, and I saw my year five teacher, who I'm very close with, or I was. And, like, yeah, she turned around, she saw me, she gave me a big hug. It was like, I hadn't seen her in years.
Yeah, it literally means a lot. Years. It definitely does. Like, just seeing your achievements, seeing you actually light up. For some, you guys change a lot, you know.
Yeah,
you've all gone through highs and lows, and there are some of you who might go through the emo phase, you know what I mean?
I remember if I've like talked to some of my teachers, like I've had them in like senior years when I had them like once in year seven, and they'll be like, oh my god, I remember your little year seven year, and I'm just like, no. Erase that from your mind.
It's so special, especially I think if you know they've taught like a sibling of yours and they realize that. I think it's so interesting how many like faces teachers memorize every year. They know, you know, teachers like my little sister, even that old teacher, she'll be like, oh, I know you. Every time she dresses her, she's like, I know your sister. Like, it's been like 5 years and she still remembers, and it's so like heartwarming. It really means a lot.
It is hard though to remember every single student we've taught. I find that very hard to remember, especially when it's beyond 3 years for me, only because my mind just literally wants to wipe clean, because then I have another 150 students that I need to remember the next year.
And so, I think as a deputy as well, it's like kind of like even worse.
So I do remember like students who I've taught, but it's sort of I have to be reminded, like it's like, ah, yes, okay, give me that year, give me that person, whatever it is. But sometimes I'd be honest, I've met students in the streets and I look at them and I go, I know them, they look familiar, but I don't know your name.
Yeah.
So
I remember from my primary school experience, I was fully like, I don't know why, I was just so accustomed to seeing kids come back to my primary school, like kids who've graduated, and meeting my teachers, because I pretty much had the same teacher for most of my primary school journey. I loved her so much. So yeah, I was so accustomed to seeing kids come back and like see her and like them chit-chatting, and I was like, wow, one day I'm going to be that. But then I moved so far away, and then I was like, wow, I actually never ended up going back there. But still, I do think about like my time in primary school so often, because it shaped us so much as
a
person.
It's core memories.
Yeah.
Your core memories are tapped, and high school will become a blur once you get past it, and they will probably be your best times, but also at times your worst times. Mm. But that's what you're experiencing in that moment. But when you get into adulthood, you go, wow, everything I experienced in high school, man, what was I worried about? What was I stressed about? Like, in comparison to, you know, adult life, there's just going to be new challenges, new complexities. But yeah, I think school itself will teach you all of that. It will teach you heartache, whether it's friendships or dating. It will teach you about failure. You know, yes, you got a 66%. I don't know. For some of you, that's a fail. But, you know, it doesn't mean that that's the end of the world. Like, you are more than a number. You are more than what you achieve at school, because some of you have a clear path. You say, I really want to do, let's say, engineering. But then you give it a go and you go, like, I didn't enjoy it.
Yeah.
And then they go off and change their careers, and that is okay.
Yeah.
You know, your future and your successes is really measured by how you observe it, not what others observe.
And I think another like sentimental thing that I think that reminded me of was also how much teachers do shape students' thinking and the way of going about
life. Definitely.
Their perspectives on life. And, you know, one thing, I think it was Mr. Lidster that recently said something stuck to me. Like, it was, he said how like students keep teachers young, as in he was saying like, you know, you guys all stay the same age, and but they grow old, like teachers grow old. He was like, for me, you're always going to be in year 11, you know, the next batch, year 11, it'll always be year 11, but he grows old and the students don't. And I think, wow, like, I don't know, that was like, what a way of thinking. It made
it's
me
true, because I'm starting to realize that Miss Lam is very uncool.
No,
there
no,
are things
no,
I don't
man.
Know
it's
there are
true.
Music you guys hear, there are slang words you use, and I'm like, wow, I used to be that cool kid, now I have no idea what you're talking about.
Wow, we all just like ended up reminiscing now.
No, but it's
I was gonna say, like, a lot of the teachers, they've left such an impact on us, even though we haven't like fully graduated and we haven't left high school, and we don't fully understand the whole scope of how much influence like teachers have had on us and our high school experience. But even like moving into senior years, especially, and like those classes when junior years, when you were just enjoying, when everything was so like chill, and the teachers that helped shape your experiences and actually like let you enjoy while actually teaching you such valuable things, they've definitely left such a mark on all of us. Like, definitely, there's so many memorable classes that I've got that I've like, I will still continue to miss. And it's just like, if you said it to somebody else, they'd just be like, what's so special about that? But you know, like in your heart, you know that that was special. Like last year's philosophy class.
I was literally thinking this right now. Yeah. Like, I was thinking the exact same
thing. Shout out,
Miss Ball.
Shout out. Shout out the last year's philosophy class.
Last year's philosophy class, best class. Yeah. No, I was thinking, you know what it is, Reet? I think that it's also, I think the most memorable moments that I've had with teachers haven't really been content or learning. It's been more so conversations.
Yeah.
It's been the conversations we've had, whether that's about the syllabus or points or content, whatever, whether it's about something super random, like, oh, like a movie just came out or whatnot. I think it's, you really get to know people for who they are. And I also just, I love it when teachers can also just talk to you like person to person, not like just, you know, a teacher to a student's also just like, you know, they sit down with you and then talk about something you guys both, you know, have like a shared view on today. I don't know if you know this app, Miss, it's called Letterboxd.
No, but I'm old.
No, it's like a movie app. Basically, you just log movies you watch, put reviews up, very basic. So I was talking to Miss Jones about it, just an English extension. So yeah, we were just finished watching a film in class, and I asked Miss, oh, do you watch a lot of films? And she says yes, and then later, look, we forget it, and then she comes to me, she's like, why'd you say that? And I was like, oh, this is an app called Letterboxd, Miss. And then I was like showing her how to like download it and what to do, and I was like, it was
it's
so
true
cute. Yeah.
I mean, I think that was really like prevalent in COVID times, so when I was online with my students, I'd be checking in with them, I'd be sending them like messages on the side in the chat of the Zoom calls. But we started sharing Bollywood and and Hindi movies. Yeah, like, I watched them. So
Miss, what's your favorite?
Gabi Gushi Gabi
Gabi. Oh my gosh, I love that
movie.
Incredible choice.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, those are my sister's favorite movies.
Those are iconic movies.
Tea jerkers.
Yes. Sad, very sad.
But I love it. And yeah, So it was great. And it's funny, during COVID, you know, with my screen share, like the students could see behind me, and I have all these eclectic jugs behind me, antiques and stuff. So they started to ask about it, and then we would talk about it. And yeah, they, like, I remember when they were leaving and leaving me messages, they're like, "Miss, you know, thanks for sharing all that sort of stuff." Yeah. And you're right, it is about building connections. It's about really getting to know each other and having that rapport. And that's so important, to really be able to get students engaged as well, in not in the content, but in you.
Yeah,
and
investing definitely.
In wanting to learn and wanting to come into class because they're happy with who they are, you know, getting taught by. So, yeah.
Because they get to know you as like a person beyond just like a syllabus dot point, like being taught, right? Yeah. And I think that's so like, that's such a good experience about like high school in like particular as well. Because you get to know your teachers so like, so like fondly.
Yes,
it's amazing, because like you're kind of just forced into this environment where you just get to know each other, you get to form these connections.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, when I remember, you know, students bump into me and they look surprised, and in the shopping center, like, "Miss, what are you doing here?" I go, "You know, I'm human, I can go out as well."
It's nice to know that kids never really grow out of their phase of thinking teachers live at school.
It's like, you should not be seen, you should just be at school.
No, oh my gosh, it's like the way, it's similar to like, I guess with our parents, like to me, my mom's just my mom. The idea of her having like a life before me is insane. I'm like, in my life, you are my mom, right? So it's the same way, like, "Miss, you're our deputy." That's just how it is.
I think through like your teachers as well, and like learning about them, you get to learn so much about life as well, and what our future looks like outside of these school walls, because you get to see what like people have actually experienced in their life.
Yeah, and a lot of our teachers have had some experience before being a teacher as well, or they've experienced different things on their journeys through the world, and the people that they meet, like, they all have different stories to share. And I know Mr. Stone is my favorite, like, he's always got a story to share,
full of stories. Yes,
and I think that comes part of parcel of being a historian.
Yes, so. Definitely.
No, I love it. I think it's so interesting to learn about people that way, especially when you've had like so many, like, I guess, life experiences, you know what I mean, like, share it. 100%
Absolutely. Yeah, it's like, wow, you guys are so unique. Like, I never would have expected that my history teacher would have lived such a like crazy life.
I think while we're on the topic of movies though, I have a point, I promise I'll get to it. But so recently Netflix, they put back this film, one of my favorite films, called Dead Poets Society.
Oh my god,
I saw it last night. I didn't click on it, but I was gonna rewatch it.
It is incredible. I think about this film a lot, and it's also one of my top four on Letterboxd, so again, Letterboxd,
as you should.
And in the film, I think who is it that plays the teacher again, Mr. Keating?
Oh,
do you remember?
He's the guy who also plays
Robert Williams. Robert Williams? Is it Robert Williams? Well, no, not.
Yeah, it is Robert Williams, right?
Am I saying that right? Anyway, but he plays Mr. Keating, and basically in the film, he tells the students to like basically throw their books away and sit on the table. And, basically all these things to really get them to want to learn again and be involved and be connected.
Yeah.
So I guess my question to you is, how do you think, I mean, obviously that's an extreme example, but how do you encourage students to be active and engaged learners?
I think it needs to first start off with the student. Like, do they have an interest or something that they're curious about to begin with? Something that's part of the professional teaching standard is that teachers need to know their students and how they learn. So really tapping into and getting to know your student and how they learn, so that you can build a rapport to then, I guess, shape your lessons to engage them. Like, that's, for me, is the steps that a teacher would take. It's not easy, because what works for one student won't work necessarily for the next.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm guilty of it. I'm pretty sure maybe there's another kid in my class that sat there and hasn't been as engaged as I would have liked. But I would reflect and go, okay, that failed. But okay, what would that student need? And, you know, sometimes it requires me to get up to them personally and asking them, you know, how do they learn? You know, how do you best learn in this class? What do I need to do to best support you? So in a way, it's bringing their voice into that situation, instead of me just, I guess, coming top down and say, you just need to do this. It needs to be two way, I think. It just, involving them in that process, as well as me being as passionate as possible to get them to that point.
Yeah, just adding on to that, like, what role do you think students in particular like play in shaping their education?
Everything. Because if they have to have a want, they have to want to do well. They have to be interested in the subject matter as well. Because if you're not, like, you don't want to do it. You're not invested. And like, you've all been there, like your parents have told you to do something, you're like, no, I really don't want to do it.
Oh my God, yeah.
You know, so it needs to come from them. They want to do something, want to learn something. They have to have that passion. And then my thoughts are that students need to also welcome the help.
Yeah.
Like sometimes they just don't ask for help when they should, and or they don't think that collaborating with other people outside of their close group is, you know, important, but it is.
Yeah, I think that's something I've definitely struggled with a lot over the years, of just like getting up and asking for help in subjects I struggled with. But I think over the years you definitely get better, like better at asking for help because of how much people keep reminding you, like, it's okay to ask for help. Yeah. Like, you don't have to be perfect.
That's right. Like, you're all in this together. Like, especially, you know, every student that, you know, the HSC you guys in year 11 going into year 12, like, you are in it all together. And the only way that you can all collectively improve is by working together. So the other thing is also taking risks. Like, don't be shy. Like, I tell a lot of my students that you learn more through making mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, there is no point you putting your hand up in a classroom and just saying what you know is correct, because you don't get anything out of that. You don't learn from, oh, yeah, you got that right. You learn from when you actually said something that was wrong because the teacher said, oh, no, not quite, or no, that's wrong, whatever it may be. But innately for you, you'd be like disappointed in yourself. But you go, okay, that's wrong. I'm never going to say that again. I'm never going to do that again.
Yeah.
Because you remember that. Like, it's just something human nature. Like, we remember the bad things. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
So that's why we learn from them. So taking intellectual risks is actually vital, but students don't want to.
Yeah.
Because to them it means I'm dumb, or, oh my God, how embarrassing. Everyone's like judging me now.
They think it's a weakness. I think that's definitely an issue we've had as well, thinking it's like, oh, everyone's going to like laugh. No, really. I think especially now, I will say in senior school, I've seen people definitely take subjects more seriously. And now I think questions are definitely encouraged.
Yeah.
So yeah, we don't make fun of it, but definitely in junior school, I've seen that. Like, especially I think a lot of girls feel very a bit, I guess, intimidated, thinking that, oh, you know, they'll be mocked out. Like, and I think this is thing with girls always having to be like, know everything, you know? So it's like an issue that we definitely want to fix, and hopefully we can.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that feeling you have with the girls is you are outnumbered at our school. You are outnumbered, I think 60 to 40 in terms of ratio. So it's not a surprise, but you know, you have to understand that there are so many successful women out there in the world. It is both males and females who really dominate the space. So it's just, what's your strength, you know? And don't be afraid that, someone seems to be doing well. Doesn't mean that you can't do well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's something that we've definitely learned with like experience. Like for me in particular, I remember in junior years, I was always like, oh, if I get something wrong, they're all judging me. Like they're all like hating on me. They're like, oh my gosh, she doesn't know anything. But then once I got to senior school and if I made a mistake, I'd be like, oh. But then I saw other people also making mistakes.
Yeah.
Like I wasn't the only person struggling in my studies, or I wasn't the only person asking for help or putting my hand up. Like everyone was doing it. And then I slowly realized, I don't judge these people. I've never had that thought where I was like, oh my God, they don't know anything. How embarrassing.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's like I've never had that thought. So why would other people have that thought
about
me?
This is where we, you know, last year we talked about the riot training, the resilience in our teams.
God,
you know, how we start to catastrophize. We think of the worst when we try to predict what people are really thinking, but we don't know for a fact.
Yeah.
And so it's just, you know, face the facts, use facts, you know, act on the facts. Don't make up your facts.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you don't think that way. So why are you making other people think that way?
Yeah.
I think we've actually mentioned that a lot on this podcast, like with the distortions, like like thinking, we've mentioned it a lot, I remember. It definitely comes up when we talk about mental health, especially with
That's vital. So looking after your mental health is vital, because if you don't have that, then everything else just falls, you know, and collapses. So you really do need to put your mental health first. So when it comes to school, I am a believer of you guys needing to have a well-balanced routine.
Yes,
you know, it is not just about study. You are more than study. You are more than a number, like I said before. You need to look after yourself. So find that thing, whatever that may be, whether it's eating, whether it's listening to music, whether it's watching movies, you know, just something that we call like me time, you know, your time to just be. You know, where there's no pressure, no judgment, and you just get to just be yourself. Because then, you know, when it, then you do your studies, whatever it may be, you're more relaxed. You know, you're not so geared up on like on the ready to the point where you're burnt out. You know, we don't want that burnt out.
Yeah.
You need a steady glow, if that makes sense. Like, you just don't want to go so hard so early and then just get burnt out and not do well.
Yeah. I think I've definitely learned that, like, from my sister as well. She's been such a big influence in my life too. She's like 3 years older than me, 2.5. Every time I would just see her, like, coming home after work, she would have a long day, but she would also have exams to study for uni. And I would just see her be like, okay, guys, I'm going to my room. Nobody disturb me. I'm having my me time and then I'm going to study. And I was like, oh, okay, you go do that. But then I think seeing her be so, like, relaxed with being like, okay, I'm going to exit the family conversation because I am tired, mm-hmm. and I'm going to get my own me time. And then I'm going to go lock back in, or I'm going to go rejoin, like, the whole group discussions. Because it's like, wow, she can do it, I can do it.
Yeah.
And it definitely helps so much.
It is hard, though. It's that practicing that self-discipline.
Yes.
Like, it sounds like your sister is very disciplined, but there are students out there who struggle with that.
Yeah.
Like, they want their me time, but then it's sort of, like, addictive. It's like, but I want more me time.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they wanted to be on their social media, and they're like, oh, this is so interesting, I want to keep scrolling. And then you just keep scrolling.
It's so normal, but it's hard,
It takes up so much of your time because you're having fun, you know?
Yeah.
So you get distracted, and then time has flown, and then you realize, oh, I didn't study tonight.
Yeah. It's hard to go from being on Instagram to writing your English essay, you know? It's hard to make that choice yourself. Yeah. You know? You need extra motivation.
You need that self-discipline and set up a study routine. And using your family as, I guess, help, you know, tell them, can you put me in my place when I'm not doing something that I should?
Oh my gosh, I have the funniest story. My poor sister, I keep bringing her up, but I was studying for my ancient trials, which are on Monday. I was studying for that. And I was so locked in. I was so in the zone. And she comes home from work. She didn't know I was studying. I have my door closed. She comes in, makes the fatal mistake of asking me what I'm doing. And I immediately pounce on the opportunity. And literally, I harass her. I fully go full depth explanation of the entire, like, Peloponnesian War.
Yeah.
The history, the, like, causes, like, everything that I knew about the topic that I was studying, I explained it to her, and then my poor mom got dragged into it too. By the end of it, they were like, great, leave us alone now, go back to your room.
But you know what else I think it is, Miss? I think it's also, and I'm speaking from experience too, but, like, there's this guilt in not studying that a lot of students have. And I've definitely only recently have I started. And I say this to myself, I say this to my friends, that rest is productive.
Yeah.
So a lot of people will be saying, oh, I did nothing today. Like, I was just sleeping the entire day. I tell them, rest is productive. If you really felt like you needed it, then chances are you did.
Yes.
Like, it's you shouldn't feel guilty for just needing something for yourself to function.
Yeah, like, if your body was that tired that you ended up sleeping, like, a majority of the day, it's definitely a sign that your body needed
absolutely,
the rest.
Absolutely, absolutely. Your body tells you what you need. So I'll sort of, I guess, share that there is a study out there that says that, you know, you really need to actually be off screen before you sleep because the lights continue to stimulate your brain and you don't actually get what we call REM, so deep sleep, right? And when you're in deep sleep, that is when everything that you've been studying and reading gets stored away in your memory, right? But if you don't reach REM, get a well-rested sleep, all that hard work of study that you thought you were doing just gets lost.
Yeah.
So, you know, it becomes short-term rather than long-term memory. So yeah, like I say, yeah, if you need to rest, you know, but I encourage it to do it properly. Like, don't say, oh yeah, I'm just going to go Netflix till, you know, 11 a.m. or 12 a.m. and then I'm going to sleep and then wake up and then start school. But then, you know, you're not actually doing justice by you if you, you know, just want to rest all the time. Like, there's a balance. You just got to find that balance.
Yes, especially definitely. Before exams. I don't believe in cramming before exams. Like, my philosophy is I go to sleep like 9, 10, like that's it before an exam. Because you retain that memory as well, especially like before writing subjects. I need to remember all my points. I need to sleep early so I can remember in the morning. And truly I do. I remember better in the morning than I did last night.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's a thing of like, rest is really necessary. I think it's underrated. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And as you get older, guys, you find it harder to sleep. So make sure you enjoy it now.
It's true. Sometimes like I opt for napping instead of like being on my phone when I have free time just because it like feels better.
Yeah.
Going back to topic here, but what do you hope students take away from their high school experience in general, like from a teacher's point of view?
The life skills, really. Mm-hmm. Like anything that the teachers have taught you. Like, I guess that's what they're preparing you for at the end of the day. Like the government, has, you know, instilled the mandated core subjects, you know, maths, English, science, PE, geography, history, you know, up until, you know, end of year 10. And they're important because they're there to just set the foundations, you know. But I'm sure that along the way in your journey of high school, you would be, you know, taught routine. Because yes. you're going to yes. need that routine. You know, you go to, like when you're an adult, you go to work, you wake up, you do this and that. You have to have some sort of routine. And like I said before, I think school prepares you for, in a way, for what happens in adult life. Like all the, like the highs and lows, you would have experienced a version of it in high school.
Mm.
And you didn't deal with it alone. You would have had your friends around you. You would have had teachers who noticed you, who reached out to you or supported you. So, you know, learning and using all those, you know, experiences in adult life, like I think that's the takeaway for them, that yeah, school definitely does prepare you for the real world. A little bit, not everything, yeah. but yeah, definitely is a starting point. I like to think that created resilience in students, you know, going through what they go through, highs and lows through high school. I guess don't forget your teachers as well. You know, the ones that really care about you, the ones that listen, the ones that noticed when you were happy or down, you know. So, yeah, take the good with the bad, really. Everything about school is good. And like I said, it's going to be one of your fond memories that you look back on. So,
definitely.
Yeah, have a fun time with it. Like, yes, you know, need to focus, but always know to keep a balance.
Mm. Seeing everyone's grad photos yesterday, that made me spiral a bit. I was really sad. I don't know.
You've got a year away.
I'm not even the one that's like graduating, but just looking at them made me so sad. It was like, you could see, like I was talking to a few of them. They were like, it's very bittersweet.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they're ready to just be done with HSC, be done with it all. But like, I guess leaving, it feels really real, you know,
it's
not comfortable. Like it's an uncomfortable position they're going to be put in the real world soon, going to university.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, it's exciting at the same time.
Yeah, because there's kids like in the grade above us that used to go to my primary school.
Yeah.
And I was the only kid in my school that, like in my grade, in my school that came to Penrith.
Me too. So,
yes, oh my God. I was like all alone when I came here. But then like these people that are in the grade above me, and I've seen them grow up. Like even though I'm not close with like many of them, like at all, right? Yeah. But I was literally in their primary school class.
They were your constant, whether you knew it or not. Yeah.
Like I've seen them basically my entire schooling journey, and now I will not see them like next year onwards.
And you can see the way schools shape them too.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean? I think there's something we say amongst the grades. We always say, oh, I just can't imagine the older year as year 12s. They just don't seem, but weirdly, every time I look at them like nowadays, they're year 12s to me, you know? It's just something that you kind of become. Like, recently we got to talk to Miss Cush and Miss Gardanes for our prefect interviews. And yeah, we were talking, I don't know, I was mentioning that actually. They were saying, oh, what are things you want to, like initiatives you want to implement? And then I was thinking, I've thought about this a lot, but I think the main one was really what you did with the Tomorrow Men, Tomorrow Women workshops, Miss, because that was like extraordinary.
Yeah, no, I just wanted something that would really resonate deeply with each and every one of you. And I just, because I saw potential in all of you. I'm getting teary. I'm so sorry.
No,
it's just,
Miss, you need a tissue?
No, I'm good.
It's okay. Take a moment.
It's hard. Like you see students struggle with different things. Yeah. And the fact that none of you realized how each of you were struggling independently. Yeah. And in a way, we're taking it out on each other. You know, and I just thought you guys need to put a mirror up to each other and realize that you guys are so similar. You know, you are suffering different things or you have different experiences, you know, but at the end of the day, you have a lot of things in common and you could be nicer to each other.
Yeah, you know? Definitely.
So I just, like being your DP in year nine, I think, to be honest, it was what pushed me to stay as DP. So, yeah.
Aww. Yeah, no, I think that room, it was the first time seeing so many girls, myself included, that we'd had problems with each other, just never talked about it. And really, that was the first time we just got over it. We were like, this is nothing. Like, literally, I'd forgiven them, they'd forgiven me. Like, it was like all this stuff, but like, it was like literally just like, because we just assumed the other person didn't like each other because of those cognitive distortions again.
Excellent.
Like, and then we talked it out. We were like, this is so silly. Like, we don't even, like, there's nothing going on, you know?
Yeah. I'm so glad that was the takeaway.
Like, it was genuinely so beautiful. And I went home and I talked to my parents all about it because it was one of those high school experiences genuinely missed where I think my life kind of did change a bit.
No,
genuinely, it meant so much to me. I'm really sad that it's ended now.
Yeah, but
it went really well. I think definitely from the first one to the fifth one, you could see like there was five, right? Or was it
four?
Four. Okay, four. I don't think I was there for one of them. But anyway, so four.
I'm pretty sure you were there. I wasn't there for one. She mentioned this in the last session as well. And then everyone in the room was like, you were there.
I don't remember that. I do not remember that. I think you guys hallucinated because I generally did not have any memory of it.
I don't recall you being absent for any of them.
No, I swear. But anyway.
Anyway.
anyway, yeah, the difference was huge. Like genuinely the way we dealt with everything. And it was really fun too. Yeah. It was a good time. All the games we played.
The facilitators were great. I can't commend them enough. And so I'm really thankful that you guys actually embraced it. Like that for me, I commend you all for actually being open to that experience and allowing yourself to be vulnerable. Because if you didn't, it would have failed.
Yeah.
You know, if you didn't allow yourself to be open and honest about whatever was, you know, happening in and around your life, that whole experience just would not have been the same.
No, definitely.
I think it's because the topics we addressed as well were so like personal. Mm. Like I think a lot of the times with these things are kind of taboo sometimes. Like we don't really talk about it like outrightly. Yeah, it's just suggested, but no one actually mentions them. But this is the first time they really said, raise your hand if you felt like this, raise your hand if you, and like we were allowed to do this. It didn't feel like we could shy away from it because in the case of, I don't know, offending someone or, you know, like outing yourself as well. It was vulnerable, but it was really beautiful. And yeah, I think everyone became very like emotionally mature as well just from one session.
I think that's what helped. Like you guys have become more emotionally mature, and that's why we feel like there has been a shift in your cohort and you are working better together. And that's why the teachers have noticed. You know, they've definitely noticed. Yeah. So thank you to you guys for...
thank you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So for our audience, for our listeners, lovely listeners, yesterday we mentioned this in the beginning, but we didn't get back to it. But yesterday me and Rhi were actually on ground kind of involving ourselves with the Education Week events, talking to the OC kids that got to have a kind of taste of high school. And yeah, we split up so Rhi could go cover all of like the for Kappa, VA, and then I got to take care of science and technology. First time in a while. I think we have very different experiences. We came back together at the end and just talked about who we got to speak to, what little kids had to say.
Hi guys, so I am Reet. I run the school podcast. So can I get a quick introduction from you guys?
I'm Rory.
I'm Lily.
So what school are you guys from? Blackstone East?
Yeah, we're from Blackstone East.
So how are you guys finding today so far? What has your day looked like?
We did history first and now we're doing music.
Ooh.
It's been really fun and everyone's been so nice.
What's your favourite part of today so far based on history and music?
Probably the music because we've been able to sing.
Mm.
I really like the history because we were able to write our names and a famous person from history in a Egyptian or other ancient language.
Oh, that's so cool. I am such a history kid myself. Like, it's my favorite subject. At Penrith, when you get into the higher classes, you can do ancient history as a subject, and I'm doing it right now. It's so much fun. I love it so much. Music as well. It's iconic. We do it. It's mandatory in year 7 and 8, and then some kids pick it for, like, their elective classes. So, yeah, what are you guys most excited for about high school based on today alone?
Food tech. We haven't done it yet, but it looks exciting.
Yeah, food tech was really fun.
I'm really excited to see new people and maybe learn a lot of other things that you can't learn in primary school.
Yeah, definitely in high school we get to explore like a lot more specific things with each class. So yeah, you guys are both in year 5, right?
Yeah, I'm in year five.
Okay, so have you guys started thinking about what high school you guys want to go to or anything, or are you still just deciding?
Well, my cousin's going to Blackstone High, but my friends are going to try it for Penrith High.
I really want to go to this high school when I'm older.
Yeah, I might be a bit of a biased person, but Penrith is definitely an amazing option. What are you looking forward to about exploring when you get into high school, other than, you know, subjects?
Different people, new friends, yeah.
The entire area, seeing how kind people are and different teachers.
Based on like today, what was your favorite part about like each specific lesson?
Well, like talking to people about what we like, yeah.
I really like the socializing and everything.
Yeah, once you get into high school, it's so much fun because you just get to hang around with people, and I think big piece of advice: when you get into high school, your friend group is not set. I came from a school where I was the only kid in my entire primary school to come to Penrith. I used to go to Glendenning Public School, so it was very far from here. So I was the only kid, and I think it was really, really experience. Like, it was such an experience making so many new friends, and yeah, it was really fun. So, is there anything about today in particular that you've enjoyed experiencing in terms of like the school atmosphere? Like, what's something new you've learned today?
I've learned that one kid was very excited, and he set a goal and he reached that goal when he was older.
Yeah.
I could probably say something really similar, and I really enjoyed and learned that that we're able to sing a lot of music, and there's a bunch of different instruments instead of just the main ones.
Yeah, I think in high school we've got the band. Like, a lot of kids, when they get into senior years, they make their own bands, and I think that's really cool. We've got, in our grade, they're called the 24 Carats. I love them, they're amazing. Every like school like event, like performance, like Variety Day for example, it's like this big talent contest. On Multicultural Day, they've always performed, and it's so amazing to see. So you guys could be a part of that when you get into high school.
Yeah, I play trumpet.
Oh, that's so cool.
And I also play drums.
Wow. Do you play any instruments?
Yes, I play guitar. And I'm not that much a professional at it. I'm like new to guitar. But at least I know how to play Mission Impossible on it.
Yeah, I think that's a big important thing. At least you guys started. Like, it's really, you guys can always just build up on your talent as you get older. So is there anything... So how are you guys, like, finding the school so far?
It's really big and really fun.
There's lots of nice people.
Yeah. I think Penrith has such an amazing community. I know I was talking to the kids that are over in visual arts right now. I talked to one of their teachers. She said that a lot of the kids were really worried about how big the school is and how the timetables work and stuff. So do you guys have any questions about anything that I can answer for you guys?
No, I'm just really excited.
Nothing really. I'm just really happy to be here.
Oh, that's so cute. Yeah, it's really fun coming to high school, trust me. I know it's scary at first because I was like the only kid in my grade that came to Penrith. So I was like, oh my God, am I going to make new friends? But you fit right in all the time. Like, it's amazing. So yeah, thank you guys so much for speaking to me. So
thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye, guys. Hi there, so I'm Reet, and you are?
I'm Mrs. Anderton.
And so how are you finding this experience with the OC kids so far?
The kids are having a great day. We've started with maths. Visual arts is our second thing we've been doing, and it's hands-on. They love it. So,
how do you think the kids are finding it so far?
Well, they're a little bit confused. The buildings are large and tall, and I think they're a little bit scared because no one's asked a single question, and they're very quiet.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of experiences with little kids. I remember when I came to high school first, I was like, where am I going to find myself? I'm going to get lost.
Even the timetable is just confusing. I think one asked if it gets printed out like this for them every day. So timetabling, the buildings, the two stories, we're a single story school, and the two stories are even confusing.
Yeah, I think as you get into high school, I think one of the first things you end up memorizing and learning really quickly is how to get around school.
And packing up and moving quickly, you know, between each class, even packing up for recess, nothing happens quickly, so...
Yeah, it's a big change, so yeah. So, hi guys, my name's Reet, I run the school's podcast, so can I get a quick introduction from you guys?
My name's Arshia.
I'm Fatima from Colleton Public School.
I'm Michelle from Colleton Public School.
And I'm Nivi from Colleton Public School.
Great, so how are you guys finding today so far? What have you already gone through?
We've gone through maths and we're halfway through art right now, and I think it's like really fun, and I feel like I'm going to have a lot of fun in high school later on.
Yeah, definitely. High school's so much fun.
Penrith is a great opportunity for us to learn, and it's been a lot of fun so far.
I love the math. There are so many challenges, and I'm really looking forward to doing science.
Oh yeah, science and maths. It's really interesting once you get into high school. It's so complex, and it's like such a great challenge as well.
The teachers here are so crazy talented, and I'm so excited to write selective. I hope I'll get into Penrith.
Yeah, trust. I think you guys are more than capable, and you guys have got this. Come to Penrith, guys. We need you. So what has been your favourite part about today so far?
I really like doing math challenges because I feel like I've been learning new things that I wasn't able to do before, and I've been learning from new people, which I feel like is really nice.
I think it's the art because we actually haven't done this type of art before and it's really fun.
I personally really like the courts of Penrith because they're like so big, and I really like playing basketball at recess there.
Oh yeah, it's actually really fun, like the whole facilities we have as well.
I like maths a lot, but I wouldn't say no to recess either because there's so many friendly people around here.
Yeah, Penrith's got a great community and you guys will fit right in. Like, you'll make so many friends. It's amazing. What's something you guys are looking forward to the most about coming to high school, whether it's being experiences, subjects, general freedom?
I feel like I'm really looking forward to walking around the school because I feel like it's really going to waste time and I don't like doing class.
Yeah, well, once you get into high school, it's a bit stricter, so you don't really get to muck around a lot. But yeah, you do get to have a lot of fun at recess and lunch times.
Honestly, I'm looking forward to what unique subjects you guys do and what you do in them because it's just so much fun.
I'm looking forward to making a lot of memories here so I can remember them when I go to university, and I'm really looking forward to doing sports here.
Yeah, sports is actually really fun over here. We do like so many sports. It's my last time doing sport because next time I move up into year 12. So yeah, I do social netball with all my friends, and it's so much fun doing sport with your friends.
I really want to learn new subjects because high school offers so many more subjects, and I'm looking forward to making new friends there too.
Yeah, great. Is there any subjects you guys in particular are very excited for?
I'm really excited for sports because I've heard Penrith offers a lot of sports opportunities, and yeah.
Yeah, we've got PE and like sports. It's just amazing. You get to experience a lot of stuff.
I'm going to love food tech because generally I just love cooking.
Yeah, food tech is such an experience in year 7 and 8 because it's mandatory in like one term each year for like tech. And food tech was so much fun. Like, it was so much fun just making food, getting to eat it, and it was so much fun.
I heard that like they offer learning new languages here, which I'm really looking forward to because I love communicating with people and socializing.
Yeah, here at Penrith we do Japanese and Italian. In year 8 we do it. I did Japanese. And then every year we do the exchange program. So I think last week we had kids from Hakkasan visit. So they came over from Japan, and the year before that we sent a few of the kids from a Japanese class, the year 10 Japanese class, I'm pretty sure. We sent them to Japan, and it's such an experience to go there. Like, it's so much fun.
I really want to learn lots of things in science and maths, and I also want to learn languages because I heard about the courses from some of the people who showed us around today.
Yeah, languages is one of, like, it's really memorable. I loved it so much. You get to do it in year 8, and then you can choose it as an elective in year 9 and 10. So is there anything about high school that you guys are curious about and you just want to ask me, anything I can help with?
Not really.
Can you skip classes?
No, you cannot skip classes. Unless you are on school business, which I am right now. So unless you're doing something for the school, such as like, for example, like podcasting, or you have a meeting and stuff, it's not really skipping class as it is like doing something that's also equally as important as your learning, but yeah.
Is Japanese hard, and which leadership positions would you recommend?
Okay, so Japanese, I don't think that anything in high school is really ever like too hard if you really put your mind to it. I remember like learning new things is always going to be a challenge, but I think if you put your mind to it, it's definitely going to come much easier. And it's, yeah, in terms of leadership, I think the big piece of advice is to just keep going through leaderships since year 7. Like, don't let yourself like be too scared to try new things. So always just try something out when you like feel it. I am currently a leader of the Model United Nations Club. So I run those meetings each Friday, which is basically like, if you guys don't know, I'm like giving myself a self promo right now, but it's basically like Model UN, right? You guys know what that is? Okay, so it's basically like the United Nations. They're all the countries of the world. They get together, they discuss politics, diplomacy, all that stuff. And here we guys like do this thing where we basically pretend to be them. So we get to pretend to be countries and we get to discuss politics, like matters of the world. And it's really fun because you just get to debate each other and you get a lot of real life skills with that. But yeah, I'm currently the leader of that club. And then I am also a podcast host, as you may be able to tell. But I recently got elected into prefect roles, which is also very exciting. In Penrith, there are so many opportunities for leadership. Like, you can do anything.
you could even make your own leadership role if you really put your mind to it. Like, there's so many opportunities here. Is there anything you guys are in particular searching for with leadership roles?
Sports. Is there any sports leadership roles?
Yes, there is house captains. So we at Penrith, we've got four houses. We've got Blaxland, Lawson, Mitchell and Wentworth. I'm in Lawson. It's the red house. You know, not to promote myself a bit, but I love Lawson. We are the best house, you know. But yeah. So we've got house captains and house vice captains. These are the people that coordinate all the sports events, like the whole school sports events, like athletics carnival, cross country, that stuff. So you can definitely look into that when you get into high school. It's vice captain and house captain run in year 10 and 11. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Okay, thank you guys so much. Thank you guys for joining this podcast.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See you soon.
Bye. Hi there, I'm Reet. I run the school's Penrith Perception podcast. Can we get a quick introduction for our readers?
Sure. My name's Pate Cooper. I'm the director for the Penrith area, so I look after Penrith as one of my many schools, 21 schools.
Wow, that's so interesting. So what's something about your role that you enjoy the most?
Oh gosh, there's a lot of things I like, but I really like being able to get into classrooms and actually see kids learning and teachers teaching that actual, I guess, called the grassroots stuff, you know, and be able to see kids grow and see teachers develop. So that's the joy, most of the joy.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think the teachers are like the backbone of society. Like truly, I wanted to be a teacher when I grow up.
Awesome.
So yeah, it's like we need the teachers so much. Yeah, at Penrith especially, the teachers are so important. We have a great community here at Penrith with all the teachers, like all the staff, they're amazing. Were you a teacher before you became director?
I certainly was, yes. So I've been taught for a long time in quite a few schools in Western Sydney, and then did very similar, I guess, to a lot. Became an assistant principal, and I was principal of four schools, again, in this area. So you never lose the teaching part. Even now, you know, I'm in there with the kids now and I'm still teaching.
Yeah. Is there something about your experiences that you would recommend for anyone listening? Anything in particular that you found most enjoyable, most memorable, something like that?
Yeah, look, I think probably the biggest thing as a teacher is that you see kids and then you work with them and you watch them grow into young adults, and some of them go into teaching or into another profession, and you think, I've contributed.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting, especially getting to see the kids grow. That it's got to be so
absolutely, and to see it's sometimes those aha moments when you're trying to explain something and you can see that they don't quite get it, and then it's like the light bulb goes on. It's like, oh, I've got it, and you're like, yes,
yeah.
So that's really rewarding.
Yeah, it's got to be such a rewarding experience. So just gonna considering that we are currently in Public Education Week, how's your week look like so far?
Look, it's been a great opportunity. I've been going from school to school, as I'm doing here, to see some activities, all sorts of different things we get to see, from performances to being in classrooms. And it's just for me, I guess, and for the community, a reminder about the quality of what we've got in our public education system and the teachers, as you said before, the quality of teachers and the work that comes out and the standard, you know, that we can provide and the support we can provide as a public education system, phenomenal. And to see that in action, it's just been a great week. So it's been great. All I've done is gone from school to school, which sounds like I'm having a picnic, but it's so nice to be able to see the work of kids, the work of teachers, talk to parents. You know, they're often there. Have a chat with them about the community, about what they're getting, how they feel about the school, and to really see the schools in our area thriving.
Yeah, that's actually great. So what does Public Education Week in particular mean to you?
It's just a way that we can celebrate. It's no different to any other week in that good teaching and good practice and good support happens all the time. But it's a chance for us to, I guess, really show our schools, show the talents of the kids, show the care and the talent of the teachers, and really connect with the community and celebrate all the good things that happen. So it's just a good week to be able to kind of put it on show.
Yeah, definitely. I think this week has been amazing, just organizing it. I know the prefect body had a big role in organizing it. Miss Lam has played so much effort into having this day come to life. And I think it's been a great opportunity for all the kids at Penrith, as well as all the OC kids coming to us.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think this one's different in that you've got students coming from another school into your school. And I think that opportunity in terms of seeing our primary kids see what high school looks like and get a feel for it and really make them comfortable is a really, really good process. So it's another, you know, great way to just share.
Yeah, I feel like it's a full circle moment. Once upon a time, this was us.
That's exactly right. And they, I think they then helps with them feeling comfortable about going to high school, because I think sometimes it can be a bit, what's high school like? Yeah. But, you know, just to see it and feel it and to share it is great.
Yeah, I think when I was in primary school, we didn't exactly have the opportunity to go to another school. We more had kids from neighbouring schools come to us and give us a little talk. So I think this experience has definitely been like really rewarding for the kids.
Yeah, absolutely. And even for the teachers, like some of them haven't sort of been in that space other than being a student at high school. So it also can help them support the kids when they go back and if they have questions about, you know, what goes on at high school. The other bit I really like here is the way that you as students have really embraced the younger kids coming in. You know, I know it was a similar thing happened last year and we actually had a table tennis competition with the older kids with the younger ones.
Ooh.
It just naturally happened, evolved. It wasn't, you know, yeah, made up. So I think that's great.
Yeah. Is there any final piece of advice you would like to give to any students, teachers?
I'm just going to say work hard, enjoy it. Take on board what you can get from school, because everyone wants to get out of school. School is fabulous. Your time you learn, yeah, there. Take all the experiences with you, and you know, for parents who are thinking about which schools they might want to go to, pick public education because it has so much to offer.
Yes, definitely. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Oh my gosh, little kids are adorable. So cute.
Miss Godotis was super excited too. She, yeah, told us before, she was like, I'm so excited to listen to the draft of this episode and see all the little kids' responses to the questions we asked. Had to make sure we didn't say too many big words.
Yeah.
Not to confuse them.
Yeah, yeah. It was like sometimes they were so insightful. Sometimes you would just forget that they're in year five. They're like 10 years old.
Yeah.
Like, wow. I was just talking to them and they had so much to say. I remember I had this like in the last like 2 minutes before the bell rang and they had to get shepherded over to food tech. I was trying to get this interview with these two boys.
Hey guys, I'm Ree. I run the Penrith Perception podcast. Can I get a quick introduction from you guys?
So we're liking Penrith so far. It's a very big school and it's lots of fun. So we're enjoying it because there's lots of opportunities.
There are a lot of facilities. It's very nice. There's a lot of things that you can play. The school's very big. It's like a maze. It's very fun, yeah.
Yeah, sorry guys, I think we're out of time. The bells just rang. But can I just get your names real quick?
Abdul. Burhan.
So yeah, great. Thank you guys. I'm sorry we didn't get much time. But yeah, I'll see you guys around. Enjoy your day.
And I asked them to introduce themselves, but I think they were just so eager because they knew that they only had a minute that they just went into their whole spiel about how much they enjoyed like the experience, what they've learned. And I was like, wow. Yeah, that was so cute.
Oh, that was cute. Well, Ree, I had a very, very different experience from you. My kids, one thing I realized about kids is that they can only say like no and yes responses to some questions.
What?
Yes, I thought they would ramble, but I asked some questions and they were like, no, yes. Like that was it. And I was kind of carrying the conversation, but yeah, no, it was sweet though. Like you can just see, like I'll talk for a lot and they'll just say, yeah, I guess so.
Aww.
And I'm like, you have anything else to add? They're like,
it's probably nerves, girl.
Yeah, it's nerves. It's nerves. It's definitely nerves. I mean, I was the same. I remember once I was interviewed, I think it was a girls tech day, ironically, when I was a little kid in primary school. And I think a few girls from Blacktown Girls came up to me and they were like, oh, do you have anything to say? I mean, because I was wearing this like purple t-shirt that said girls tech day on it. And they were like, oh, you're like the perfect person to do this. Then they kept asking me questions. And I remember I messed up in the middle. I was like, I'm sorry, please don't hate me. And they're like, it's okay. It's fine. Yeah, no.
My group was so like eager. Like I was talking to one of the teachers of the group when we were in visual arts with Miss Berry. First of all, it was so hands-on, like all the experiences. Like I was expecting, like just going in there, I was expecting it to be like, oh, they would do a little group task and then they would segue into like smaller groups and let the kids like do it themselves. But I was like, wow, everyone's involved. Like it wasn't, yeah, like, oh, kids just went off and just like lingered instead of doing the work, but they actually, all of them got to do the work. So for a while I was kind of lingering there being like, when do I question these people? But yeah, I talked to one of their teachers and oh my gosh, everyone was so insightful. Everyone was so eager to like be a part of the podcast as well. My kids, when I went to like VA, their teacher kept telling me, yeah, the kids are so eager to talk to you. I had to like leave and come back because I didn't want to disrupt them like doing their painting stuff. So I like left and then came back. I also got to talk to the director of education, which you guys will see in this interview here. Yeah. So that was also such like an experience to talk to. And I was like, wow, public education, there's so much involved with it. Like it's not just one section. Like everyone's involved with it.
Wait, you see how cute they are?
Yes.
You see so the cute, simple responses. Yeah. I really had to like get them to speak.
Yeah.
And actually, the thing is, I had one of the peer support leaders just standing on the outside, just for their own comfort. But I don't know if that helped. I don't think that helped. I think they were more nervous. But on that note, I did actually get to interview said peer support leader as well, and he was gave much more content.
Oh, yeah,
spoke a lot more. I think that happens. Yeah. So yeah, let's go see what Dev has to say. Okay, guys, I'm back, and right now I'm here with
Dev.
And Dev's in year 10 and he's a peer support leader, so I think it'd be really interesting to get his insight on today as well. So what class are you with right now?
So we're having science right now with Miss Kuma, and we've gone through a few flame tests and a few other science experiments, and it's been quite fun today.
Yeah, so surely you've been like looking over all the kids, right? Do you notice anything like interesting or their reactions to things like a part of high school?
I think when we first came into high school, we were often like fascinated by these things, but then we got used to it. And so we don't kind of find experiments and all these things fascinating. But to see these new students come and getting fascinated by all this that they're seeing today, it just makes me relive those moments of primary school when I first came into high school and I was excited. So yeah, I mean, it's just helping them out has just got me back into those memories.
That's true, actually. You know, when I just went into the room and they were like in the middle of a flame test. And I remember when I was in year 7 on the first day, that's what the science teachers would do with us. And it was so interesting back then, like the safety flame, changing colors of the flames. And now it's just kind of something that is a part of every experiment. So yeah, that is interesting. So, you know, I mean, being in year 10, it's been a while since we've been back in primary school. Do you have any like fond memories of primary that you remember to this day?
I think most of my memories were with my friends in the classroom, because we'd all used to sit together, we'd used to have so much fun, we'd used to mess around, and we used to get in trouble as well, but I think that's part of the experience. So my fondest memories would be getting into trouble sometimes, and it just with my friends.
Did you go to a local primary school?
Yes.
Which one?
Toongabie Public.
Oh, okay. Wait, so were you the only one from your school to come, or did you have like more people?
Yeah, I was the only one from my school, and that is why I kind of felt alone at the start. And so I really missed my friends. But yeah, I got used to the new high school environment.
Bro, literally me too. Like, I was the only one from my school, and I was so nervous on the first day. Yeah, the only people I knew were like seniors that had gone to my primary school and came here, and they've graduated now. So I feel like, oh, I've come so far, like now that I know everyone. And back then I thought, oh, I'm not gonna have any friends, I don't know anyone. Yeah, I guess you really do like just, you know, start fresh, start new. And I'm really excited to see these kids as they come and see them doing that on the playgrounds. So also being a peer support leader, could you maybe tell us like about how year sevens, you know, settling in, because you said these fond memories, like these are things that they have to give up on, and some kids might have situations like us where they're kind of like alone in this space. So how do you help to settle them in?
I think a big part of coming into a new school is the transitioning process, because many students are scared about how their experience is going to be, and they really don't know what they're facing, what new people they're going to face. And so as a peer support leader, I think my job, it's very important to give them that kind of sense of home and that sense of belonging, to make them feel that they're welcome. And once they get that, they can start opening up, and the quicker they open up, the more connections they can make, and the quicker they immerse themselves into their high school journey. So just making sure that they feel respected, and giving them a new set of values, and making sure that it just feels like home. I think that's very important for me as a peer support leader.
Very wise words. And you know what, like, because we're in front of the hall right now, guys, just to paint a picture, and there's like people playing piano right now, and it feels kind of like background music. I feel very professional. So yeah, I think, do you have any last shout outs, any things you want to say on this platform?
I'd just like to say that when we all first came to Penrith, we were all a little scared, and so we learned to adapt, and I think that's the most important thing. Even in your high school journey, there will be new subjects, new classrooms, and it's always important to know how to adapt. And that's one of the biggest things high school has taught me.
Thanks for sharing that, Dev. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time. So yeah, no, he has a lot of, I guess, like wise insights. We talked about his experiences, obviously. And you know someone else that actually we also talked about their experience? Miss Kuma. And she had the sweetest, oh my God. Actually, you guys hear for yourself. Okay, guys, it's Jamila, and we have a special edition interview with Miss Kumar. So, hi, Miss.
Hi.
So, Miss here just taught a science lesson to some couple of students from Blaxland East, just like last period, the bell just rang. So, how do you think the lesson went? How do you think the kids were?
Oh, I think it went really great. They were so excited, and they just, really got into it, and it was amazing.
Yeah, so in the spirit of public education, I think as a teacher, it's definitely different, like, asking a question to you than to, like, others. To other students, right?
Yeah.
So, what do you think like public education means to you? Why is it such an important deal?
Public education is important because everyone should have access to the same opportunities, the same educational experience, and I think it's really important that education is enriching for everyone and it meets everyone's needs, and public education is fantastic for that. So that's why I love being a public school teacher, and that's why I'll always stay a public school teacher, because just getting everyone excited is why I wanted to do teaching, and I can do that a lot, especially at the school. So that is why it's important to me.
Wait,
I guess
wise words. So was teaching always something that you wanted to do?
It wasn't initially. I just wanted to get into science, but then I thought teaching is just teaching is what I want to do with my life, and so I just love it, so I'm going to continue doing that. I think I found my passion.
Oh wait, that's so good. Last question. Mm-hmm. Is what do you think like high school was like for you, or like primary school? Do you have any like fond memories, anything you're willing to share?
Oh, I think all my fond memories are in the science classroom, which is why I love science so much. So I think that's what I loved about school, and just being with my friends and just having fun, not taking life too seriously.
Oh, that's so wholesome. It's like a full circle moment. Yeah, so everything like worked out in the end.
It did.
Okay, thank you so much for joining me, Miss.
Thank you.
Bye. Like, you see what I mean? Like how it's so interesting that she, I asked her like, about science and how she got involved in it and when she knew she wanted to be a teacher. And it was actually the same as kind of Miss Lam as well, thinking like she didn't go into it originally thinking about teaching, but it just kind of happened as well. And she realized it's her passion and she's just stuck with it now.
She's a natural. Okay.
Yeah,
she's a natural. And ever since she's started here, I've only ever heard great things. Mm. Even as far as the kids that had heard yesterday, apparently she's the most sweetest, nicest teacher ever.
I was just about to say that.
I saw her conducting the lesson. She spoke with them like so like, it was just so nice.
And one of the teachers actually said, oh my God, like, where have you found her? She's amazing. How long has she been teaching for? So yes, Miss Kumar is amazing.
Yeah. pretty much.
Yeah, that sums it up.
Okay, so to wrap up, Miss, what advice would you personally give students starting high school?
You might have a goal in mind, but know that your goals can change and it's okay for them to change. Yes, put your heads down, bums up and study, but have a balance. Okay, that's so important. And always know that you are more than just a number. And your successes are your own, and just be happy with wherever you end up, wherever that may be.
Thank you, Miss.
Thanks, Miss.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining
us.
That was great.
And that's it for part one of today's episode of The Penrith Perception. We hope you enjoyed the inspiring words of your community and culture. Thank you so much to everyone who shared their experiences and words.
That about wraps up our discussion today, so thank you for listening. We'll catch you in part two where we talk to Miss Chapman.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Penrith Perception, a podcast made by the multimedia team. To support us, feel free to follow us on Spotify. You can also find us on Instagram at The Penrith Perception for more news, behind-the-scenes material, and upcoming episodes. This podcast was recorded on Darug land, always was, always will be, Aboriginal land.
The Penrith Perception is executive produced by Shamila Faisal, Reet Kanda, and Dimity Skardanis. Mixed and edited by Snigdha Nishani, Sachika Chakraborty, and Jasmine Sohi. Scripted by Marlena Hanna and Studi Biswas. Graphic design by Abhi Chi and Miriam Ahmed. Music composed by Preetam Telugu.